Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 13th day of January, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is an open forum, and so we will invite people to join the call at any time if you have a comment or a question. Before we begin, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumri Ambith. Callers, again, will be welcome. We do ask that you maintain proper decorum on a multi-caller platform and try not to walk over each other, and also be careful of language that is used. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody calling in or coming in by computer is muted at my end until such time as you indicate to me that you wish to speak. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We do have a Daily Mail page there, also a Listen Live, also information about weapons and ammunition, health page with all kinds of links for learning about natural health and natural ways to regain your health and maintain your health. We do ask that you check the Daily Mail page from time to time, as some of the email platforms are making it very difficult, especially in sending out bulk mail. So again, if you can, check that page. We've been having some interruptions with internet service here of late, so if something happens to the program in the middle of it, that's probably what happened. There is no bad weather or anything like that, but we are getting very spotty phone service and very spotty internet service of late. So again, not sure what's causing it, not trying to speculate, but definitely something seems to be happening in that area, because it's happening so frequently. I am using a new headset that I just got, different style. So somebody looks like Angel just put in here that the sound is okay, so that's good to know. It's going to help me because it's, like I said, it's not broken like the old set, and hopefully the mic is clear and everything is easily identifiable, and clarity of voice and whatnot is pretty good. I was playing a song at the beginning there while we were waiting to go on the air live. I don't know if anybody got to hear it or not. If somebody could send me a text or email as to the sound quality for Carl Klang's song, just for my information, I would appreciate it. I'm trying to get up to speed as quickly as possible as to what's going on, because so much is going on and so fast. It's a very frustrating thing to do. I'd like to come on here with 100% confidence and be able to tell everybody exactly what's going on by who and where and when and all that, but unfortunately, I think we're at that stage where we're in the period of great shaking of the heavens and the earth, which is in the scripture, of course. And when we look that up, thank you, Angel. When we look that up in the Greek language, of course, the great shaking that it's talking about is primarily in our geopolitical arena, not so much the natural world as far as tsunamis, earthquakes, and all that. I know for years and years, people used to talk about the coming catastrophes at the end of the age, and they would always point to these giant tsunamis, earthquakes, volcano eruptions, tornadoes, you know, all that stuff. And what we're finding out is we're watching all of this unfold before us, because we are at the end of the age. I don't think anybody disputes that now. As it's unfolding before us, it seems like the Greek language is more appropriate than we first thought. Because the Great Shakening is in all of the trusted institutions that we were told to put our faith in, whether it's medicine, science, universities, professors, PhDs, philosophers, high officials within the state and federal governments, you know, that sort of thing. And all, of course, your personalities on the boob tube, the electronic toilet. So we were told these were all trusted voices, people that wouldn't lead us astray. And we're finding out that they are everything but that. So the Great Shakening is the fact that people put their faith in man and things made by man. Now, if you read your scripture, it's very clear that the Father is a jealous Elohim God. He says, I will not allow my glory to be given to another. It's very clear. I will not allow my bride, my people, to worship and revere a false god, for I am a jealous God, a jealous husband. And we are the bride, his people that walk this earth. So in effect, the Father is saying, I'm not going to allow you to put your adoration, which is a form of infidelity by his people, towards these institutions and things made by men, such as TV screens, laptops, cell phones, tablets, electronic flat screens, images controlled by the beast. These are no different than the idols that our ancestors made thousands of years ago. And he said, I will not tolerate you giving your obedience and your acquiescence and your obeyance to idols. Now today, the white race, his people, are idolizing almost everything on earth except the King of Kings, except our Creator Father. Is it not true? They worship money, they worship fame, they worship credentials, they worship images coming across these electronic devices, these toilets I call. Okay, we worship and give credibility to almost all of these things above and beyond our Heavenly Father. It's amazing. It's a shame, really. Why are people doing it? I don't know. Okay, I just got a note here that there's an occasional twang, so maybe this microphone has a glitch in it, I don't know. So if anybody else is having trouble with the audio portion of the transmission, please let me know. So again, we've reached that point where our people on this earth, and we're specifically talking about here in the United States, because I think we are the light shining upon the hill, us and our cousins over across the border in Canada, that we have completely turned our back on our Father, okay? Because we look for solutions to every problem we have in man-made institutions while we ignore our Father, whether it's by prayer or putting faith in his healing touch, etc., or listening to what the scriptures say, or just using the natural methods to do things. We've abandoned it all for the New Age, New World Order, mercantile banking system, which is a beast. We've abandoned it all. It's unbelievable. And it's worldwide. So for the first time in the history of man, with the aid of technology, the beast is actually able to implement all of his draconian measures across this entire earth at the same time. And anybody out there that doubts that, take a look at everybody wearing the face diapers. Okay, the dirty diapers smacked up against their face. I just listened to a short video put out by a doctor who is screaming mad because a young boy under his care has a very serious lung ailment, and it's due to the wearing of these damn masks. This is what's incredible to me. In the face of logic, in the face of data, in the face of the testimony of hundreds of thousands of healthcare people around the earth, people are still disobeying their good conscience, disobeying common sense, and have no faith whatsoever in our Father in heaven, and listening to these charlatans and quacks like Fauci and Birx, and the moron, traitor, criminal in charge of the World Health Organization, the criminals at the Center for Disease Control, all of them criminals. They should be rounded up and put in front of a tribunal. In fact, and this will include some members of my family, anybody in the healthcare profession that is promoting any of this COVID nonsense should be put on trial. If I was a judge on the tribunal panel and even one of my relatives came before me as promoting this, I would smack the gavel guilty and let them suffer whatever punishment is demanded. Because it's that serious. We've got people committing suicide. We've had family businesses lost, homes lost, ranches lost, restaurants lost. This innocent blood is on everybody that promotes this nonsense hand. Innocent blood. And our Father says innocent blood must be avenged. Because if you don't avenge the innocent blood shed, then you are guilty and your land is cursed. That's right out of the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And I think that's where we're at, as the white nations have abandoned all of their God-given rights. They've abandoned all of their God-given duties so that they can get along with the New World Order and the trinkets that Babylon waves in front of us to get us to basically fornicate with the beast. This is what's happening in the world. Now, the good news, of course, is that there is a huge awakening going on as we see all these institutions laid bare as to their criminality and their complicity with fraud, whether it's in banking or in the pharmaceuticals or medical arena, the fraud within the educational arena, the fraud within entertainment and mainstream media, and the criminality as far as what they've done to our children and to boys and girls and even adults as far as the organ harvesting and the sex slave trade. All of these are realities. And it's about time that this horrible truth be laid bare before the people and that we demand that justice be done. I got a short list of things I want to cover, and again, we are in an open forum, so if somebody has something they wish to add or comment on at any time you feel led by the Spirit, please feel free to do that. You're not going to upset me or anybody here. At the top of the list, of course, is the vaccine that's being pushed. I pray nobody listening to this program would put that poison in their body. That's my opinion. It's my opinion. I'm allowed to express my opinion. You're here because you chose to be. This is not an open forum where it's an AM or FM radio broadcast out there, whatever. You cannot hear anything said here unless you come here of your own accord. So you're going to hear my opinion based on what I know from my training, based on the many people I'm in touch with every day, and the reporting of many healthcare officials, doctors, first responders, nurses, retired nurses, physicians, assistants, and naturopaths. All of them that I listen to say the same thing. My personal opinion is I would not put any vaccine in my body. None. And I have not put one in my body in a very, very, very long time. And I've done many things in the natural world to detoxify the body from what little I did have put in my body many years ago. The good news is, of course, our Heavenly Father created a phenomenal body, and it can recover from almost anything. In fact, let me, since Adam is here and Henry, I think I saw Henry here, we had a discussion just the other night with a gentleman by the name of John, who talked to a naturopath that I personally know, and he's been dealing with some health issues most of his adult life, some very serious health issues. And long story short, after a session with the naturopath, he has found out that almost everything that he's been dealing with and all of the pharmaceuticals that he's had to take all those years can be done away with naturally. So to say that he's a happy camper would be an understatement. To say that I'm happy for him is an understatement. And there's others here. Angel's here with us. I know she could tell you if she wanted to jump on here what all her life has changed as she's implemented Yahweh's way of doing business. I think I see Chris here. Same thing could be for him. Bubby and Lane and Susan, Ralph, all the people that have been a part of this program and Yahweh's design who actually have the faith to put into practice what he told us. I know a long time ago when I made up my mind that I would obey the food laws that are in the scriptures, I was made fun of and continue even to this day by friends and family, made fun of because I won't eat pork and I won't eat shellfish and I don't put hybrid seeds into my body, GMO products, any of that stuff. So they made fun of it. It's like, why? You're going to die one day anyway. Why would you go through all of that? It's too much work. Well, for me, it's not too much work. That'd be like saying reading my scriptures is too much work. That would be like saying it's too much work when I go to bed at night to talk to my Father and ask His forgiveness for my shortcomings and to bless those that I love and care for. Is that too much work? I do that every night. Am I losing too much sleep? Is that too much to ask? In my book? No, that's not. The old saying when I was a child, the things in this life that are worth having are worth working for. They don't just fall out of the sky into your lap. If you want the Father to intervene in your life, it requires some effort from you first. Okay? You have to accept His invitation. Now, He'll knock on your door. The door of your heart is the way Scripture puts it. It's basically saying He's going to get your attention somehow, some way. He's going to knock on the door. But you have to open the door and let Him in. As I've said many times, where in Scripture does it ever say that Yahshua, when He walked this earth, carried a stick or a club and beat somebody to make them listen? When did He ever say that you must follow Me? You must do this. You must do that. He didn't. He just said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. And if you follow Me, if you listen to what I tell you, you will drink from the waters of life. The waters of forgiveness, the waters of righteousness, the waters of healing. But you have to put your time and effort in. Our people have become very complacent and lazy of late, thinking everything should just fall into their laps. I'm sorry, but that's not the way it works. Again, I am very blessed that my parents raised us in a very strict household. We had expectations every single day. Expectations on our behavior, on our language, that we showed up in school, that we did the best we could, that we bring a good report card home. When we got home from school, the first thing you did is change clothes and got outside and did the chores, whether it was feeding the cattle, whether it was feeding the chickens, whether it was hoeing the garden, whether it was help mom do the wash back before automatic washers and dryers, when you actually washed them in a wringer-type washing machine and put them through a wringer manually and then took them out and hung them up on a clothesline. We were expected to help out. Then, if you got all your chores done, there might be some time, including your homework, there might be some time for maybe a black and white show on television like Lassie or The Early Show or Disney, somebody like that, a movie. So it wasn't just given to you. There was an expectation that you must put forth some effort. We also need to be aware of the fact that the vaccine thing is also is a poison, but also this COVID thing is completely a hoax. In the sense that there is no such thing as COVID-19, all they've done is called the common influenza a coronavirus. That's all they did. It's the same thing that comes around every year, twice a year, at the changing of the seasons, and they just stopped calling it influenza and called it coronavirus, and all of a sudden everybody's running around like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off, scared out of their minds. I don't know. I put my faith in my father. I really don't give a damn what Fauci or anybody on a boob tube tells me or anybody in a lab coat tells me, because I have a brain. It functions. I have faith in the father, and I don't listen to any of those people. Your health, your life is your responsibility, people. If you think you're going to turn that over to somebody else and get out of being responsible for yourself, I got news for you. That isn't going to happen. You and me and everybody else stands in front of that great white throne all by ourselves. You and you alone will give your testimony to the Father. He's going to look straight at you with those piercing blue eyes, and he's going to say, "What did you do with the life I gave you?" Have you ever stopped to think about that? What's your answer going to be? You see, he gave you that gift called life, and what you did with it is your gift back to him. What are you going to tell him? What's your gift back to him? A wasted life? A life chasing after the pleasures of Babylon to see if you could accumulate more cars or more material goods or more money than anybody else, that somehow is a sign of success? I don't think that's going to bode very well, to be quite honest. I think at this point in time, everybody I've talked to, and we all agree, most of us want out of Babylon. Everybody I talk to can't stand being around these diaper wearers for the most part. I don't like being out around them. I don't want to be in any of these places I've gone before, like brick-and-mortar stores. I stopped going to concerts a long time ago. I don't even go to the beach that often. I don't go to restaurants. I don't want to go anywhere where these people are because they disgust me, to be quite honest. Because everybody going along with this diaper business is perpetuating the lie. They're perpetuating the lie. And that's why that little boy is now fighting a severe infection in his lungs. And we have other people, adults, getting bacterial pneumonia. My daughter and my niece and other healthcare people have this terrible acne-like condition around their faces from having all that bacteria trapped on their faces all day. It's unbelievable. I would say at this point in time also you should be armed. I can't imagine why somebody would not be armed at this time with everything that's going on. However, that comes with a caveat. If you're going to purchase weapons and ammunition, you need to be trained on how to use them. The proper use, the proper storage, and the proper ammunition for that weapon. You need the training, folks, so that you can safely handle it and you can properly maintain it. Because if you don't maintain it, you may not have it work when you need it most. Same thing goes with that ammunition. I remember reading a story many years ago. There was a police detective that was undercover, if I remember right, but somehow he was trying to infiltrate or bring in a member of a gang who was selling drugs, and they lost contact with him, something to that effect. And when they found him, he was dead. But the interesting part was the fact that whatever happened, he was able to pull his service revolver, and he attempted to shoot it 6 times because they found a little dimple in the primer of each of his cartridges in his pistol, which means that the hammer had fallen on all 6 of those rounds in his revolver, and they did not fire. So because his weapon did not function, the criminal was able to put a bullet in him and kill him. The lesson that came from it is they found out that this policeman would often polish his weapon and oil it, and he would clean and put oil on his ammunition. So it looked good, looked clean, serviceable. I'm sure he passed every inspection. But the problem is, those of you who have reloaded ammunition the way I have, you know that the primer is the little cap at the end of the cartridge that the hammer and firing pin strike, and it explodes. And that little fire explosion goes into the cartridge and ignites the gunpowder, and that's what makes your bullets come out the end of the barrel. Well, guess what? If the primer gets wet or saturated with oil, it won't fire. So you can pull the trigger all day long, and if your cartridges are not dry and serviceable, you might as well not even have the weapon. So a little story about that. For some of you guys, you'll know what I'm talking about here. What the military does is they seal the primer on military ammunition. You'll see a little line around the primer pocket of a sealant so that moisture and oils and things like that cannot get in there. But civilian ammunition does not have that. But what I learned a long time ago you can do is go out and buy some cheap nail polish, and the ammunition that you're going to use for your home defense, in other words, you may have it in your pocket from time to time, it might be exposed to the elements, take those rounds and put them in the box that it came in, which means they're upside down with the primer facing up, and you put a little ring of nail polish around the perimeter of that primer, and then take a tissue and run it across the cartridges to soak up the extra nail polish. And what you will have is almost identical to what the military ammunition has, a very nice airtight, watertight, oil-tight seal around your ammunition. Just a little backyard mechanic type tip for you gun enthusiasts out there and home defenders and possible militiamen, as we hear from people like Robert David Steele and many others talking about the fact that we civilian soldiers may be called upon by the sheriffs in our counties to help defend the homeland here in the near future. Depends how things all play out. Nobody knows that except the good Lord above. But what we can tell you is that there is military movement in the country, a lot of it. There are threats being made by militaries outside of the United States. But what they will actually do, nobody knows the answer to all that, folks. Nobody's going to sit on any radio broadcast and tell you definitively what is going to happen. Only the Father above knows exactly what's going to play out here. All we can tell you is there are signs and indicators, and that we are at a very serious juncture in the history of this country and the world. And we are at the precipice, and we are also at the crossroads, where the direction this earth is going to take is up to we, the people that walk this earth. What are you going to stand for? What are you willing to fight for? Do you want to go to the left down the road to Marxist communism, totalitarianism, a dystopia as described in the book 1984 and many others? Is that what you want for yourselves and your family and loved ones? Or do you want to go to the right side and walk with the King of Kings and proclaim him our master and our sovereign, and that we are his subjects and subject to his law and no other? William Blackstone, the great jurist from England that was studied, his commentaries were studied by our founding fathers extensively. Even in our law schools, they taught the commentaries of William Blackstone. And William Blackstone made the statement that any law created by any body of legislators that is contrary to the law of Almighty God is no law at all. Are you paying attention? Any law created by any legislature that runs counter to the laws of the Almighty is of no effect, meaning it's as if it was never written. It doesn't matter if it was voted on. It doesn't matter if it was signed by a president or prime minister. It is of no effect. And shame on us if we treat it as if it's lawful. That's the difference between legal and lawful. Legal means it went through a legislative process and it was signed. Lawful means it's in accordance with the common law of the Almighty. Big difference between legal and lawful. We, as subjects to our Heavenly Father, are only honor-bound to obey lawful orders, righteous lawful orders. We are not obligated to obey any others. In fact, quite to the contrary, we should resist them with all of our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls, because it is evil. It is evil to call something legal and lawful when it is not, under the color of law, such as the murdering of babies in a mother's womb, such as saying that a marriage can be between two men and two women. Those are abominations. Those are not lawful. To say that transgenderism is a new normal is to give your stamp of approval to an aberrant behavior that runs counter to the natural law. That makes you complicit with it. So if you want the United States and all of these other countries to be rescued, if you want us to come out of this abyss that we find ourselves into, you have to obey 2 Chronicles 7:14. Maybe we should go read that right now as a refresher, as soon as I can get my computer to. Here we go. Respond. 2 Chronicles. See, technology occasionally is for something good. 7. And we'll slide on down here to 14. I like using the, when I'm online anyway, the World English Bible. If my people who are called by my name, which is also another way of saying, if my people who operate under my authority, as in you've seen movies of the Middle Ages when they said, I come in the name of the king. Well, did they say I'm Charles or James the First? No, I come in the name of the king means I come under his authority. This means the same thing here. The people who are called by my name or under my authority will humble themselves, pray. So we got two conditions so far. Humble, pray, seek my face, which means what? Seek his attributes. Seek his wisdom, seek his approval of our actions and deeds and words, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. That's the one our people really have a lot of problem with. Turn from your wicked ways. Then, okay, so we have four conditions under the if statement. Then tells us what comes about once the four conditions are met. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. And what is sin? Transgression of his law. And will heal their land. But you see, we just don't seem to get the basic math here. The logic of it, if you will. The logic if-then statement. If. You know, in nuclear power, I used to write technical procedures for the maintenance guys. I also wrote some of the operations procedures. And one of the tools in writing these procedures on how to operate the plant or how to do maintenance in the plant was the use of what we called procedural steps. And there was a rigid guide that we had to use on how to number the steps, what kind of language to use in the steps. And we had what we called if-then statements. Just like is in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Because those are called what we called logic steps or the conditional steps. If you see this light come on and the temperature in the reactor core is above 570 degrees, then you will open this valve. Then you will take the rods out of the core, etc., that kind of thing. So it was very important that you understood that the if statement had to have all conditions met before you get to the then statement. Not just one of them, not two of them, but all of those conditions. And our people have a real, real hard problem with this turning from our wicked ways. Because our people, like an alcoholic, you can't help an alcoholic if he won't admit he is an alcoholic. Same thing with a drug addict. Same thing with a porn addict. Same thing with a sex fiend, okay? Unless they're going to admit they have a problem, you can't do much for them. And for our people, it's this fourth condition of the if-then statement, turning from their wicked ways. Because our people tend to think that they don't have wicked ways. They really don't. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, I'm a good person. I don't need to repent. I don't need to do anything differently. I don't need to rethink things or reprioritize things. No, no, no. I'm fine just the way I am. If we could just get all four of those conditions gone, then Father promises relief. If anybody out there, as we go through this end of the age scenario and we have this strange events that are happening before us, if anybody thinks that we're going to get the blessings of heaven without repentance, without returning to our roots, as they said on the farm long time ago, son, you're barking up the wrong tree. That's a reference, of course, to hunting dogs. If you got a dog that can't see well or can't smell well, he's liable to be barking up a tree with nothing in it, meaning birds or game. Okay? You're barking up the wrong tree. You are expecting something that cannot be. Or else our father is a liar. Or else all fathers are liars, because our families on this earth are modeled after the divine. And fathers, you are to dictate the terms of your households. That's your job. First to the wife, get that situation straightened out, and then when the children come, then you also get them in line. That's your job. And like our Father above, you are to issue righteous commands to your family members. It's your expectation that they obey them out of love and respect for you, not because you're a tyrant, not because it's out of obligation to you, but because they respect you as the man of the household. They respect your judgment, your training, your disposition, your motives. If they cannot respect them, they will not obey. They will not adhere to your rules, and your household will be in disarray. Okay? It's really a simple process. But when we get it right, it's a beautiful thing to see. Beautiful thing. To see a household with a strong, alpha, testosterone-filled, toxic male in charge, doing righteous deeds and guiding his family through these tumultuous times, and the ladies and children of the household giving proper reverence to the head of the household and obedience. It's a wonderful thing to see because it works. The only time it doesn't work is when the man fails. When he fails to be the lion that he's supposed to be, then it doesn't work. And most men today, I have to admit, are too lazy to put in the effort it takes to be a proper man in our society today. They don't have the intestinal fortitude it takes to stand up against the name callers and the Jews who try to denigrate you and throw legal process at you and threats of court appearances and threats of jail, and if that doesn't work, even physical harm, possibly even death. Real men don't fear those things. Real men don't. Because we all know we're going to die one day anyway. There's no guarantee that I'm going to go through life without any woes, without any hardships, without any shortcomings. And one day, life will come to an end. That was set in stone the moment I was born. And the same thing with you. You cannot change that. But what you can change is what you will stand for and not tolerate. What you will not do when told to do it by unrighteous or evil men. I know a lot of people have said here, what are you going to do if they do this and they send the military around to inject you and everything else? I said, I can't speak for everybody else. All I can tell you is I know what I'm preparing myself to do, and I think it should be common knowledge. I'm prepared to fight and die. Because I don't want to live in a world where people have the right to come in and stick something in somebody's arm against their will, especially an unproven substance that will take away my attachment to my Heavenly Father. I don't know about you folks, but I don't want to live in a world like that, or where they think they can come in and drag your children and send them off to an institution, calling you unfit because you won't inject them with a poison, or you don't have, as a case in Ohio many years ago, they went into a person's home in the winter time, and they took the children out and put them in a foster care situation with Child Protective Services because there was no electricity in the house. They called the man and the woman that they were, it was child abuse, and they were unfit parents. Just because there was no electricity, he couldn't pay the bill. But the house was warm. He had obtained through friends and his own work, he went ahead and got some kerosene heaters, the safe kind, and they were running, and he had lanterns in the house for safety, and water was available for cleansing and dishwashing and for hygiene. Okay, so there was none of that. But they took the children out of the home because there was no electricity. There was no claim that the children were actually in harm's way or was going to be, but they didn't keep the electricity on. Do you want to live in a society where you have civil servants with that kind of power, that kind of idiotic reasoning? Do you? I'm just asking. So is it worth taking a stand and fighting, even if I got to do it all by myself? Yeah, actually it is. Because I can't tell what you guys are going to do. I can't tell what my neighbors are going to do. I have no idea what the local sheriff and the local police guys are going to do. I have no idea what the military is going to do. They don't work for me. I have no idea. The only thing I can control is me. The only thing I can put my faith in is my Heavenly Father and trust His judgment. He knows my heart. He knows why I'm going to do it. I don't wish violence upon any person walking this earth. I really don't. But I also don't want people disobeying Father's law. I don't want innocent children hurt. I don't want women raped and abused. I don't want people to go into the hospital and end up dead with their organs taken out and sold on the market. Those are evil things. They're worth dying for to put an end to them. And a regime that thinks that they can march into a community and do the things that we just talked about, those are satanic people. They don't really care about anybody's health. That's just the rhetoric they use to propagandize you to think that they're good people. Anybody that says they have a right to do that is antichrist, is a communist. And the day is going to come in the very near future where communists are going to be hunted down. That's a fact. You can count on it. Malachi says it, Obadiah says it, and Ezekiel says it. Common sense should even tell you that, and the book of Revelation. This criminal cabal, satanic world system is going to perish. And the prophet said that the kingdom will come in by violence and by the hand of his people. Ezekiel says that there's a vast and mighty army that rises up to strike down the wicked. Malachi says the same thing in chapter 4. All kinds of prophets tell you this day is coming, and you can see it. The world is waking up to the criminality of the trusted institutions, the trusted voices of Satan's kids. So be prepared for almost anything, folks. I had one individual ask about money in the bank, what they should do with it. I said, well, that's a personal choice. But you do know we're going to go into a new economic system, right? Very soon. Because this one cannot stand. That's just a fact. All right? So are you going to leave all your electronic digits as your only means of financial security? Or are you going to convert at least some of those electronic digits into tangible assets, such as foodstuffs? Barterable camping equipment or cigarettes or alcohol or an automobile or land or animals or extra liquor. Okay? Anything that other people will have needs of in hard times becomes an item that can be bartered. And if you put your money into these items, you can always convert them back into electronic digits or cash later on after the change. So why wouldn't you at least take some of those digits and put them into things that cannot be stolen from you so easily? Those electronic digits in computers controlled by the bankers are the most vulnerable sources of wealth that you can imagine. They can disappear instantly. Do you trust these institutions that are guarding that? Aren't these the same kind of computerized systems that they told us were making sure we had fair and honest elections? How did that work out? You're gonna trust these same kind of people with their computers running your financial system? The wealth that you earned and that you're relying on for financial security? I keep personal opinion again. I keep very little in banks. Very little. What the advice given to me was keep enough in there just to cover whatever bills you're going to write for the week. And after that's gone, put some more back in to cover next week's bills. I don't keep any savings. I don't keep any extra in banks. That's my opinion. You're obviously going to do what you think's best, and that's the way it should be. We come to this forum to share ideas and knowledge. You take from the table what you want. We, as brothers and sisters, bring our gifts and we leave them on the table, and you take from the table what you want. I call it stand your ground as far as my attitude about what the New World Order and these monsters that walk amongst us are trying to do. A lot of people are saying that Biden will never see the White House. I'm praying for that, and I would fight to keep him out of there. So if we ever do see that we have a good military around somewhere, and they are going to declare the insurrection that we are under, because this is an insurrection, and actually fight it, then I and my family and my friends and all of the militia I know would certainly step up to the plate and assist in that fight, because it's worth it. We don't want to lose this one, folks. Whether you like it or not, you're in a war. And we do not want to lose this one. So maintain your faith in the Father, especially in this time with so many lies and deceptions from left, right, up, down, you name it. It's all over the place. And remember, we talked about the experiment that was done by the Russian Pavlov. I think he was Jewish too, but I'm not sure. Pavlov and Pavlov's dogs, where he did the experiment on stimulus and what it did. And remember, that was, he gave a stimulus and the dog was happy and he knew it was going to get fed, so he salivated and everything else, whether he actually had any food with him or not. I can't remember if it was ring a bell or turn a light on or whatever, but we'll say ring a bell. So every time the dog would hear the bell ringing, it would go into the conditions of getting ready to eat and be treated nicely. His tail would wag, and like I said, he would salivate. The other part of the experiment was to come in with a stick, and we'll say it was blow a whistle, okay? And when he blew the whistle, he would beat the dog so that the dog was very afraid and would cower in fear and everything else. And that's the part when I was in school that they always talked about. Just those two parts of it. But there was a third part where Pavlov rang the bell and blew the whistle at the same time. And that's what the interesting part of his experiment really was. When you bombarded the animal with very positive and very negative stimuli at the same time, the dog froze in terror, didn't move. Didn't do anything, just stood there, shaking, not knowing what to do. That's the average person on earth today. They're being bombarded with information through the electronic devices And on a given day, you might have a dozen stories telling you about great, wonderful white hat things being done. Pelosi's in jail. You're going to see Obama stand trial for his crimes, and Biden and his family's going to stand trial. And then you'll hear about, well, we got red flag laws being implemented. We've got Child Protective Services snatching up children. And so you're sitting here, you're not sure what to do. You're like Pavlov's dog. You're just kind of sitting there, terrorized. What do we do? What do we do? We should recognize that we're being played. It's just like Pavlov's experiment. Now the question is, who benefits? Qui bono? Who benefits from we the people frozen in our tracks in terror? Who benefits from that? That will tell you who is putting forth all of this diametrically opposed stimuli to get you to be frozen. That's why, for me, I tune out the electronic media as much as I can, good or bad, and try to focus on day-to-day activities with real people, conversations, friends that I have, prayer time, of course, meditation, and the resolve that I can't do anything about what the rest of you all do. I can only tell you what I plan on doing to anybody that threatens my neighbor, my loved ones, my property, my body. If you threaten those, my Creator gave me the right to resist up to and including lethal uses of weaponry. It doesn't matter what's written on paper. It doesn't matter what some damn Jew is telling you. This is a contract between you and your Creator. He put you upon this land with a purpose, Adam. You should be focused on that, not what some enemy is telling you, not what some Satan-worshipping crowd is telling you. Resolve to be the man that our Father created. And that as a man upon the land, you have a resolve to do righteous deeds, regardless of what the plan is, regardless of Donald Trump, regardless of General Flynn, regardless of what the sheriffs and police officers are doing. What do they have to do with your resolve to be a man? Absolutely nothing. And again, remember, at the end of it all, we go home to be with the Father, all of our ancestors that made it, and all of our brethren that made it, for whatever it is on the other side that the Father has for us to do. Think about this. The intricacy and the beauty of this world that you live in. Take a look around. Go out on a nice, crisp afternoon and watch the birds and the animals and look at the trees and the beauty of the skies and the sun. Feel the warmth of that sun against your skin. Notice that your body is a miraculous machine. Take all of that in and how delicate and yet strong and well-designed, intelligent design was in all of this, and how it is all working in harmony together when man stays out of the way, of course. Think about that for a second. And the fact that you had nothing to do with being here. Come on now, think about that. You yourself had nothing to do with being on earth right now. Nothing. But you're here. You sense it. You can see it. You can smell it. You can touch it. You can contemplate it. And all of those processes that allow those things to happen, how complicated and intricate they are. All of that going on, and you think that there's no purpose here? And you think that when we leave here, there's nothing? And you don't think that on the other side of this life, there isn't something as equally beautiful, if not much more so? Really? Well, maybe you can. I don't. The Holy Spirit testifies to the fact that that's true. Logic testifies. Rational thinking testifies. And so does Holy Scripture. When Christ walked the earth, his testimony, as best we know it through the Gospels, testified to it as well. So think about that. Use good discernment, folks. Good discernment. Logic. Take some time to think. Pray. Trust on the Father's wisdom. And remember, in this fight against evil, we're not doing it for an earthly institution. No, we're not. I'm not. I'm not fighting for a constitution, a piece of paper. I'm not fighting for organizations. I'm fighting for an earthly kingdom. I'm fighting for truth and justice and reverence of a creator God. I want him and his law to be the law of the land. Enough of this man-made garbage. That's what I fight for. Also want to remind folks that you might want to consider at least going to the website and downloading some of their material and read about the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, which is headed up by Sheriff Richard Mack. We've interviewed him on this show, and I get emails between himself and I from time to time. I personally, whether you agree with him completely or not, that's not the issue. Is he fighting the good fight, and is his organization trying to do good things? Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. I wanted to read real quick the nine noble virtues, and then we're going to go to any kind of questions that people might have. This was sent to me quite some time ago, and it's the nine noble virtues are based on the virtues found in the historical Norse and Germanic paganism, gleaned from various sources, including the poetic Edda, particularly the Havamal and the Sigridfrumal. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. And as evident in the Icelandic sagas, they are a wonderful set of guidelines for honor and morality. Honor and morality. Number one, courage. I face my fear and defend my family and kindred or tribe from all dangers. Number two, discipline. I do what is necessary and right of my own accord without bribe or threat. Number three, fidelity. I am true to my family, friends, kindred, and those to whom I pledge service. Number four, honor. I stand by my oaths and honor my ancestors by keeping my name pure amongst my tribe. Five, hospitality. I share hearth, food, and drink with my friends and my kindred, and the weary traveler at my door. Number six, industriousness. I take joy in labor and hold nothing back from the work I pledge to do. Number seven, perseverance. I press on against all odds until my goal is met. The task is finished, and I have done all I have said I will do. Number eight, self-reliance. I learn skills and grow strong so that I may earn my way in the world and be no burden to others. Number nine, truth. I seek the truth even when it may be a hard truth. I speak true words or stand in silence, and I defend the truth from those who do not honor it. And you can go find the nine noble virtues, and you can do a search for him, or you can go to the Joshua Lightning Warrior, and that's all together at WordPress.com. Joshua Lightning Warrior. Warrior, warrior, warrior. We have forgotten to be warriors. To our chagrin, I might add. So, again, there's a lot going on, folks. Do not allow it to cause you to be fearful, dismayed, panic. Those are all signs of a lack of faith. Our people do not have that. Our Father did not allow us to have that. You are to have the spirit of confidence, not a spirit of fear. Fear means you don't believe that you're a son of the Most High or that you're doing the right things. And in some people's cases, maybe they should be a little afraid because maybe they've got some dross that needs to be burnt out. Maybe they're doing some things they should not be doing or not doing things they should be doing. All right? Things to think about. Adam, I see you're on there, as well as Henry and some of the other guys, John, and Susan, Lane, Bubby, Joel, Ralph. Anybody have anything you'd like to share with the crowd? Or we'll go ahead and say our closing prayer here in a few minutes. Adam, you're unmuted, buddy. So if you want to say something, just unmute at your end. Maybe we lost him. Maybe my new headset's not working.
I'm here, Dan.
So you can hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, You fell asleep, right? When I join, I want to make sure if I'm not in the room that I'm muted because you'll start hearing echo and it'll be some time before I get over here.
Oh, okay.
So I had to, like, set it all up again.
I'm just pulling your leg, buddy.
Well, I did want to say something. I had I went with my buddy, who's my neighbor. He's a masker. And we went to he had to go pick up a pistol. So we went to Big Five to check their ammo. And we go in, and the guy who's at the gun store, he's like on a ladder. As soon as he sees me, he's like, "Hey, you got to wear a mask." And I go, "No, I don't. I have a medical condition." And he was hostile. He was really, he almost looked like he was visibly frightened. Because wow. I'm like, "No, I don't. I have a health condition, and I can sue you if you keep pressing this issue." And I said, "Go get your manager." And he went straight to the phone, picked it up, dialed the manager, and kept at it. He just kept at me. So my buddy had already seen that they didn't have what he was looking for. And to be honest, he avoids confrontation. So I was happy to engage with the manager because at least there's a chance that the manager knows that he's liable if he pushes that issue. But anyway, we just left. And so that was fun. It was a note to me, though, that I don't really feel fear of that anymore at all. It's actually kind of fun because it's like a spectacle. They're so crazy. But anyway, so that happened. Then we went to the store he had his purchase at. And this is an old-timer gun store. There's always people in there. Line. He's a single guy. He doesn't have any help. And he wears the mask. And basically everybody I've seen in there except on one or two occasions wears the mask. But I don't. So I haven't been accosted by anyone in that store, and it's a lot close quarters than Big Five. But while in there, I got an opportunity to chat with this ex-cop who was the guy actually selling the gun to my buddy. And he was showing me all kinds of stuff. You know, I'm looking for reload equipment, primers and all that kind of stuff. And so he was real friendly, telling me all kinds of advice. There was another guy who was happy to talk as well. And at a certain point in the middle of all this conversation, the owner of the store had just gotten off the phone, and he comes out to announce to us the good news that the vaccine is going to be ready soon, and it's going to be ready for people over 65, I guess, first. And all these two other gentlemen who were nice guys to me started a conversation about the whole deal. Like, well, herd immunity this, and you know how that conversation goes. The whole time I'm standing there thinking I was torn, actually, which is part of the reason I called in. Should I try and fight this disinformation that's being discussed in front of me, because I could save a couple lives, potentially, or not? And I ended up not wanting to engage all three of these guys because I'm still at a precarious situation with the owner. He's not said anything. And I don't know if these guys don't say something because, you know, I don't know what's driving them to put masks on, to be honest. But anyway, it just, I don't know why I brought that up, except your nine, I think it was, I guess, instructions for life includes being honest at all times. But there's also that verse that is, don't throw your pearls before tares, or swine, sorry.
Swine, yeah.
Yeah, so I remembered sitting there thinking those things, like, is this supposed to be a time for me to open my mouth or not? So I just,
well, it depends on whose company you're in. If they're swine, then no, you're not obligated to tell them the truth. And again, let's say, like in my case, they're family members I've been speaking to for 20 years, okay? And they, in 20 years' time, they haven't listened to a damn thing I've told them. Well, at a certain point, and every person comes to that point at different times, but at a certain point, you're going to say, I'm not talking anymore. And I've reached that with most of the people I know. If they come to me and ask me, I'll be glad to. I mean, I'll take hours to explain things. But if they don't ask, I'm not going to talk anymore. It's wasting my time. I'd rather talk to somebody halfway around the world that actually wants to hear what I have to say rather than trying to beat it into somebody that could care less. That's ludicrous. That's pretty much what you said. That's like casting your pearls in front of swine, because swine can be members of your family. They can be neighbors. They can be a lifelong friend. They could be your boss. Swine is indicative of people who are antichrist. They're not moral people. They're not believers. They don't want to make a better world. They don't believe in truth and honesty and justice. They're just bags of bones taking up space on this earth. That's it. So why would you want to waste your precious pearls on them? Save your pearls for people that deserve to make it into the kingdom. That's the way I look at it. And it's a shame how few people seem to be meeting the qualifications for that these days.
Yeah, well, I agree. I have this assumption, I guess, that gun owner or gun store guys are going to be my guys, you know, but it doesn't seem to be the case, really.
Yeah, it's what I used to do is I when I meet people and I'm not sure which category they're in, I give them a little piece of baby food, baby meaning truth, some of the easier to swallow truths. And if they can handle that, then I move up to some more substantial food, and then later on, if they can handle that, I'll get some to the real meaty stuff, okay? Like, was Jesus a Jew? But you can't start off with that one, okay? That's like feeding a 12-ounce porterhouse steak to an infant. It doesn't work. They can't digest it. So you have to, you start out with Pablum or baby food, because especially today, people are triggered so easy today, it's unbelievable. I'm talking about men and women both. They're triggered amazingly easy. So you have to basically give them little tiny bits of baby food first and see if they can handle that and digest it. Because if they can't, why in the hell would you even go to anything more complicated? So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was my short little experience was a mixed bag. I mean, that guy at the Big Five, he was so quick to jump onto that triggered phase.
Mm-hmm.
It's intense. And then, of course, as I'm leaving, you know, he's like, it's on the sign. And I, you know, he said, read the sign. And I go, you should do some actual reading, you know. And,
right.
And then I got like a couple of their 20-something cashiers staring at me, you know.
Yeah.
Just an interesting experience.
Well, what's interesting is they say read the sign, but these morons don't go read the actual mandates, because if they actually read the mandate, they would see there's exemptions written into the mandate. So they're hypocrites.
Yeah.
They're hypocrites. They just want to enforce it because they don't want to have a confrontation. They basically don't have any testosterone. They don't have any male equipment anymore. You know, it's like my brother-in-law says, we're going to take the man card away from them. Take their man card away from them because they're not men anymore. They may have male attributes, but they're not men.
Yeah. We're
supposed to be lions. Lions don't take crap off anybody. So even when you come up against another lion, you fight. You don't acquiesce. You don't back off. You fight, and may the best man win. That's the way it goes. We got another caller here. I think we have Susan. I think this is Susan in, looks like Florida, if I can get the software to work here. Come on. All right,
hi.
Now, Susan.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Just glad to be there with both of you guys and everyone else who's around. Some may not know that, you know, over the course of the past 3 months, I traveled in 11 states and went into now almost 700 different businesses of all kinds and never wore a mask and had lots of interesting interactions with people. once in Miami, they did bring out the sheriffs on me, but the sheriffs knew that they had no authority to do anything, so it was fine. I just sort of walked out and said, bye. But it was a good experience and led to lots of good, healthy conversations and the capacity to share documents with people from time to time and give them websites to go to. So I really enjoyed all of that. There were two fast food restaurants that I would never go in fast food, but the only places that I would go in were Panera and Chipotle. And not in Florida, but in other states, I was not allowed to be served in two of them. And that could actually become lawsuits. I haven't really pursued that at all, but it was a fascinating thing. And we just need kind of the courage to stand up and do it. You know, we've been suppressed. Both of us, by the way, my husband and I, you know, we never wear a mask. And we go in all kinds of businesses all the time. So it's doable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's doable. And again, I'll point out that my son delivers for a major carrier, and he has never put a mask on. Even though their policy says they will, he defiantly refuses to it. And so that's what now, 9, 10, 11 months ago, close to it anyway. So they haven't fired him, and they just tried to browbeat him and shame him into doing it, but he said, I'm not going to put that thing on my face and hurt my health. If you people want to do it, that's your problem. So I'm proud of him for his stand, and he also refused to put these vaccines on his truck.
Yes.
So that was another stand he took, and you know, he stood by his guns, and praise Yahweh, the Father has blessed him. He's actually had guys come up to him, including management, thanking him for his resolve. Because there's that few real men in this world. It's a shame, but there really are only a few, relatively, that will take a stand and actually, I mean, you think about our founding fathers. Okay, that's only a few hundred years ago. So it's not like we're going back into ancient history here. We're talking about the founding of this country. Men and women took a stand against much more hardship in the decisions that they made back then. I mean, you think about the conditions under some of the kings of England. My family, for instance, got removed from Wales and forced to come to America because we lost in a religious battle between Protestants and Catholics. And so my ancestors in the 1600s were told, you will either go to the New World or we're going to execute you. Okay? Our people aren't facing anything even remotely like that, and yet they back off. Our ancestors faced death for their convictions, and some of them did pay the price of being killed for their convictions. Many others had to uproot and go to an entirely new world in a different continent, but they did it. It seems like today, it's when I was a boy, they had a saying, it's better dead than red, meaning it would be better to die than to fall under communism. But about 15 years after that, all of a sudden Americans were starting to say, well, it's better to be red than dead. Completely changed the paradigm.
I guess it just has to rhyme.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Well, it makes me think that if it was as clear as it is for, I think, at least the three of us on the call, it is clear that it is the same kind of threat. It's just not as obvious. Maybe if it was more obvious to people that this is like the leaven of the Pharisees, it's going to keep going, then they would stand up. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a question for Susan.
Yes?
Did you go through the process of, you said you presented like documents and things like that. Are you going the route of this is a place of public accommodation? Are you using that kind of language, or how are you starting your conversations when you come to those?
Sure. Well, for example, in most, let's say, stores, department stores, convenience stores, and so on, in most cases, I just walk in, and see if there's somebody at the door, and I like to go up to that person first. Of course, I'll keep my 6-foot distance just because they're brainwashed, and I don't intend to induce fear in them, right? And they will, of course, say, oh, may I give you a mask, or you have to wear a mask in here, or something like that. And I'll just say, I'm sorry, I have a medical exemption, so I can't do that. And in most cases, people are actually now well enough trained that they'll just say, oh, okay, go ahead. So in almost all cases, it's actually easy, especially in Florida, except for in Miami area. So that was not too difficult. Of course, there are people who think that their own impressions or wishes for what would be operational or the law or the rules or the positions of their particular corporation that they're working for, they think that their internal wishes for those rules were the actual rules, and they will impose them, they'll project them, right? And so I have to simply talk with them. Sometimes I'll say, well, you need to understand that this isn't the law. I mean, in Florida, I can say, sorry, but that order actually disappeared back in October. The governor removed that order. So actually, by having this sign here, you're actually violating the law because you're misrepresenting the law, and that's actually you know, arguably criminal. So, and I know it's not you doing it. I know that, you know, someone had told somebody to put that sign there, but that doesn't mean that that sign is true. So I might have a little conversation like that. Sometimes I'll say, hey, please go get your manager, just as you did. Sometimes I'll just, you know, throw up my hands in a way and I'll just say, sorry, you know, you need to learn your job, and I'll just walk in.
I told the people, the managers, I talked to the manager at Walmart and the manager at BJ's, and when I talked to them, I said, call your legal department. I said, call somebody further up the chain or call your legal department.
Yeah, I've had to do that. I mean, I wait to let it escalate. If they start to escalate it, I'll say, great, you know, let's talk with your legal department. Get those lawyers on the phone, please. You know, and in several cases, they actually did. And, of course, then they couldn't admit that they had gotten answers that they didn't expect, right? So.
Wow. In my case, when they got a hold of their legal department, they got off the phone and said, have a good day, and walked away. So it was really interesting at Walmart because they had a small posse around me, you know, store employees and assistant manager plus the manager. So it was to intimidate me, but it didn't work. It was
right.
Actually
on several occasions they did that to me too, and especially in Miami, and they in one case they did that in order to detain me until the sheriff people could arrive. You know, but then there was really no problem. There was nothing they could do. It was just to make a show of me and to intimidate me and to, you know, let everybody else know that I was bad. And, you know, sometimes they'll say, look at all these customers that you're preventing to come in from this aisle. You know, you're standing in this aisle and the customers take one look at you without a mask and they won't come here. So you're impeding our business. You know, there's nasty stuff like that happens, but I don't care.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. So let me ask you two, since you're on the line with me now, what do you see happening around the country? Because I'm hearing all kinds of reports. Just give me an encapsulation of what you think's going on behind the closed doors and below the radar in the country. I'll start with you, Susan. Anything significant?
There's definitely an effort to get people out into the streets rioting between the 15th and 17th and then on Inauguration Day. And many patriot groups know that you can take a look at the poster they're distributing. It's just like these, you know, communist posters of history. You can see from the language, from the colors, from everything, that this isn't coming from our folks. This is coming from the other side. And so people, I think, are becoming aware, although there's still such, in some people, there's still such anger that they feel that they want to get out. They feel even an obligation to go out in the streets, but they really shouldn't at this time. They should just stay in and wait for what's going down. I don't believe that Biden will be inaugurated on the 20th or ever. But that's just my personal thing. I have believed since September that regardless of the election outcome, because of the way other chess pieces were set up, including within the Supreme Court, which even though all of the election cases have, you know, gone through their process and been dismissed, not on the merits, because the merits have never been heard, the facts have never been heard in any court, but on some procedural nonsense, okay? Now, the Supreme Court knows that. They know the difference between, you know, procedural dismissals and meritorious dismissals, and, you know, so they know what's going on. So, you know, it has to become darkest before the light, and you know, Sun Tzu said in his book, you know, you got to surround yourself with your enemies closer than your friends, and you have to allow your and make your enemy believe that he has won. So I think things are going to get darker and harder, and they're going to look worse and worse, and we're going to see people who, you know, will continue to give up on their values, their own personal values, just in order to stay with the crowd. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to change my values. At the same time, I do call Trump out for doing things that I believe are bad, like lying about the efficacy and safety of a vaccine that is not even a vaccine, right? That's not right. That is absolutely wrong, and so on. But there will be a lot of people who will fold. You know, they'll throw in the cards, and then they're going to learn the hard way that they should have stuck with what they understood to be true and right. You know, there was when you have the Capitol Police opening the barricades, removing the barricades for the crowd, that can only come from an order. I am told that the chain of command for the Capitol Police goes up to not the Pentagon, not the president, not the judiciary, of course. It goes up to the legislature. And that means that all of the top people in that Congress, including Pelosi and others, that all of the top people had to have not only known about that order, they had to have participated in and agreed upon that order to stand down the Capitol Police, to have them just open the gates, open the doors, and let people in. It was their plan.
I agree. So it's the things that are happening, no matter who's behind it, is definitely exposing a lot of the players and who the traitors are and turncoats and things such as that. So very interesting. Adam, what are you hearing, bud?
A lot of the same. I agree that I don't see much of an advantage to going out and being a part of the crowd, because we know Antifa and the BLM types are going to try and infiltrate and create chaos. So there's really no gain there, I don't think, at least from my town and from what I'm seeing. But I, as you both, I'm sure, are aware, there's a lot from both sides to sift through. And I've heard the case that all these people are being rounded up and Pelosi is unheard from, so she's arrested and all this kind of stuff. And then I've also heard the stories that seem to be simply at this point, the purpose is to create as much fear as possible. And now I'm talking about the stories about there's going to be mandatory vaccines, and that's what the armed forces are to push onto us. And I'm starting to see that as simply a fear tactic. So I'm not, at this point, I don't care to even acknowledge it. I'll look at it, but it doesn't help me to let that soak in. And I, like you have said, Dan, I'm not doing that. I think all of us are not going to be doing that. So, again, I just like sort of hanging on to the positive option. Because at this point, there's not a lot of conclusive evidence, I guess, for me to say, well, yes, the white hats are on our side and they're doing their work, versus this could all be coming at us in a negative way. So I'll choose the one that's more hopeful until I see evidence otherwise. But I don't know. I watched a video today of a guy who was probably in his early 30s, and he was a part of Antifa. And this is an immigrant who was coached through high school to be active like that. And anyway, his perspective was interesting. But what he said, having come away from the Antifa movement, was that the scary part of that group is that they're not all funded by Soros and things like that. They actually are using their own. They're so caught up in their hatred of whatever they want to call it, whether it's capitalism or just America, Americans that they're willing to fund their own bus rides to wherever to cause chaos. So I just thought that was interesting because I hadn't really thought of it that way before today. But I'm kind of wandering off a little bit. Basically, what I heard is similar to Susan's report. So for me, I'm just chipping away at the little things I can do, like getting more I got some more pieces to my reloading kit, which I'm two pieces shy of having a kit that I can actually start to work on. And I cut a wine barrel in half today that I'm filling with more vegetables, so I'll do that tomorrow. I got another two on the way that I'm going to fill with water. Little things like that, and then, of course, normal things like plumbing issues backed up, so now I got to fix those things so that I can be secure in my house if I need to for some duration. So just whatever I can do along those lines. And to be honest, I'm not beaten down by all this stuff anymore at all. I had a great day. And that little episode at the Big Five was more comical than worrying, to be honest, because it's just ridiculous. But yeah, I'm busy enough with the things I can do with my own hands that I don't spend too much time wallowing in the misery and mess that's out there available to be consumed.
All right. Yep. Very good. Very good. Let me just check, see if anybody else is trying to call. No, they're not. So I'm going to go ahead and since everybody's busy and whatnot, we'll probably go ahead and take closing comments here and then close up for the night. Susan, any closing comments?
No, just thank you, Dan, so much for having the call and for allowing these comments, too.
Okay, very good. Thank you for taking your stand, and glad you made it through all those stores and back home safely.
Yes, thanks.
All right, take care. Cowboy bless.
Yeah,
Adam, closing comments.
Same for me. Just thanks again for always being here and being an open mic. I do like these random call-ins. I'm appreciative for Susan and her work and her husband. Yahweh bless you both, and have a good night.
All right, Adam. Take care. Yahweh bless. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, again, we thank you for being here, and the archive will be up. A lot of people reaching out to me. Let me just pass on the general gist. I'm hearing from some people I haven't heard from in many, many years. There's a common thread. There's a lot of anxiety and concern, but there's also a positive aspect to this. We gotta hang on to the positive aspect, because in some of the darkest days that I've ever been, the Father used those days to teach me how to be a prayer warrior. I learned how to actually pray and read Scripture with hot tears, which I'd never done before. I felt a closer walk with him, because even when I felt like the entire world of the Antichrist was going to come crashing down on my world, as I look back on it, he never forsake me, ever. And he sent ministering angels into my life, sometimes in the form of male or sometimes female, but there was friends that would come out from maybe not hearing from him 15 years. All of a sudden, there they were. I needed somebody to talk to, or my one buddy showed up at the workplace, said, "Come on, Dan, I'll take you to dinner. You look down. You look like you could use a friend." Little things like that. I'm going to tell you, when you're walking through that valley of darkness and you think death is around the corner, you'd be amazed what a smiling face and a cheery word from a brother or sister, what it'll do for you. And that was the greatest meal I'd ever had. When he said, "Take you out to dinner," all we had was French fries and a hamburger, but man, it could have been at the King's Palace as far as I was concerned. So we have these kind of abilities to lift each other up, and we have the ability to look at the positive even in light of all the negativity around us. Don't fall into the trap of the enemy causing you to take on negativity. No matter what's going on, We're the children of laughter. We're to take on the attributes of the Father, and the Father basically tells the Antichrist, bug off. Bug off. You can deceive, you can threaten, you can persecute, but you're not guaranteed victory. And I'm in this fight for whatever it takes, for as long as it takes. And then appreciate the good things that do happen. Every day, sit down at night and take accounting of the things that you should be thankful for. Loved ones, family, a roof over your head, a comfortable bed to sleep in. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people in the world don't have those things. Things that we take for granted, they don't have it at all. Be thankful, folks, for the things we do have. And we'll be back with you for any special broadcast needs. If nothing comes up, then we'll be with you Sunday morning. In the meantime, again, please go to the Daily Mail page where I can post significant things happening on a daily basis. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for watching out over Susan on her travels and watching over our listeners in their daily walks with you. We thank you for Adam stepping up and doing the things he's doing to bring together the family of men, especially the men, in these latter days to get us to join in fellowship and share with one another. It builds camaraderie. It builds a confidence and a faith in each other as we learn basically how to communicate again. We've kind of lost that ability, and we just thank you that you're leading this regathering of the house of Jacob Israel. And we just pray that you will continue to do that and allow us to be your willing servants and bring forth your righteousness and your kingdom upon this earth. And may the wicked finally be vanquished and tread underfoot, turned into ash that we will step on and grind into the ground and get rid of them forever and ever and ever. We pray also, Father, you will forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do. Give us good discernment and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.